ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Student reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, Text 6. Adhuneha
Adhuneha
Mahabhaga
Mahabhaga
Yathaiva
Yathaiva
Narakan
Narakan
Naraha
Naraha
Nanogra Yatanan
Neyat
Tanme Vyaktyatum Arhasi Atuneha Mahabhaga Yathaiva Naraka Naraha Nanogra yatananeyat
Nanogra yatananeyat
Tanme vyakthata Vyakhyatum arhasi
Tanme vyakhyatum arhasi
Aduneha mahabhaga
Aduneha mahabhaga
Yathaiva naraka naraha Nanogra yatananeyat Tanme vyakhyatum arhasi
Tanme vyakhyatum arhasi
Aduneha mahabhaga
Aduneha mahabhaga
Yathaiva naraka naraha
Yathaiva naraka naraha
Nanogra yatananeyat
Nanogra yatananeyat
Tanme vyakhyatum arhasi
Tanme
Adhuna, right now,
Iha,
in this material world, Mahabhaga.
Mahabhaga.
Oh, greatly opulent and fortunate Shukadeva Goswami. Yatha. So that. Eva. Indeed. Narakan. All the hellish conditions into which the impious are put. Naraha. Human beings. Nana. Varieties of. Ugra. Terrible. Yatanan. Conditions of suffering. Natyat. May not undergo. Tat. Dead. Me. To me. Vyakhyatum arhasi. Please describe. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Oh, greatly fortunate and opulent Shukadeva Goswami, now kindly tell me how human beings may be saved from having to enter hellish conditions in which they suffer terrible pains. Purport. In the 26th chapter of the 5th canto, Shukadeva Goswami has explained that people who commit sinful acts are forced to enter hellish planets and suffer. Now Maharaj Parikshit, being a devotee, is concerned with how this can be stopped. Vaishnava is para dukha dukhi. In other words, he has no personal troubles, but he is very unhappy to see others in trouble. Prahlad Maharaj said, "My Lord, I have no personal problems, for I have learned how to glorify your transcendental qualities and thus enter a trance of ecstasy. I do have a problem, however, for I am simply thinking of these rascals and fools who are busy with Maya Sukha, temporary happiness, without knowledge of devotional service unto you. This is the problem faced by Vaishnava. Because a Vaishnava fully takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he personally has no problems. But because he is compassionate towards the fallen, conditioned souls, he is always thinking of plans to save them from their hellish life in this body and the next." Parikshit Maharaj therefore anxiously wanted to know from Shukadeva Goswami how humanity can be saved from gliding down to hell. Shukadeva Goswami had already explained how people enter hellish life, and he could also explain how they could be saved from it. Intelligent men must take advantage of these instructions. Unfortunately, however, the entire world is lacking Krishna consciousness, and therefore people are suffering from the grossest ignorance and do not even believe in a life after this one. To convince them of their next life is very difficult, because they have become almost mad in their pursuit of material enjoyment. Nevertheless, our duty, the duty of all sane men, is to save them. Maharaj Parikshit is the representative of one who can save them. So in this verse, Srila Prabhupada very nicely explains actually the purpose of preaching, the mood of a devotee. We can take example of Parikshit Maharaj, as Srila Prabhupada said, he is the representative of all who can save the conditioned souls. And I mean, if we can just consider the situation of Parikshit Maharaj, then he is sitting there knowing that he is going to die. So then he wants to go back to Godhead. So now he is thinking about then what he needs to do. But what he is actually doing? Now, he is being described, okay, if you don't do it the right way, you go to hell. So and then he ask, okay, now, right now, he is the word Aduna. Now, right now, okay, describe to me how to save the people from those terrible conditions which you actually explained. It's he is not at all attached to himself or to his own elevation. He is always concerned about the conditioned souls. Why? Because the Vaishnava is very compassionate. He doesn't like to suffer, doesn't like anybody to suffer. So even the tiniest ant, then he wouldn't kill. I mean, we can see on the example of Jada Bharat, when he was put to carry the palanquin of Maharaj Rahugana, his concern was not to step on an ant. And even though he was chastised for it and this, that, he wouldn't want to harm any living entity. And the whole incident was just so then he can preach to the king about the proper duties and how the living entities can get out of this material world. So we have to take this example. We have to be able to preach to the people properly. Now, if we go and preach to the people, what would the people would want to know? What is the way? How did Srila Prabhupada preach? What is the way? The utmost important thing is that we have to preach what we live ourselves. If we preach Bhagavatam, then we should live Bhagavatam. It's not enough just to learn some verses, learn some purports and say, okay, this Shastra says this, this Shastra says that. They will ask, okay, why are you telling me that? What will I do with it? What do you do with it? And he was, oh, well, okay, somebody said so, so no, I'm just repeating it. And people, well, may not be very impressed. They will not take it up. Well, you are not following it. You are just saying it. Okay, so then what? I can just repeat it, but I don't have to follow that. But if the devotees actually live up to the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, live according to the instruction of Srila Bhagavatam, then the people will be eager to take it up. Why? Because when you preach what you live, then why would you preach it? Because you appreciate it. It's something which you value. Something becomes your priority. Well, I mean, you can go in the West and live any materialistic life. I mean, who can stop you? But no, you choose to come here to Mayapur to live devotional life. So that was your free choice. So now, why did we do that? Now, it will be foolish to do that just, okay, well, India is cheap, Mayapur is quite okay, so I'll come here and I'll just, it's easy life. That will not be very intelligent. But coming here and seeing the opportunity, like Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion, now he explains that devotees should be eager to live in the dham. But living in the dham means the consciousness, not just physically, not the body being present, the consciousness. So the consciousness means I want to serve, I want to associate with the devotees. And then, once you associate with the devotees, then you come to know their lifestyle. You come to appreciate their qualities. And therefore, you yourself then start elevating yourself to a higher platform. You start to see things differently. But if you maintain your consciousness on the lower level, because you want, it's your choice, then it will be very difficult to elevate that consciousness. So, Krishna is giving us unlimited opportunities to take proper association, to be able to chant the holy name in the association of devotees. You get the opportunity, come for Mangalarati, that's happening, you can be there. But some austerity needs to be done. And that is that you have to get up in the morning and you have to come to the temple and then you have to then sit with the devotees, chant the japa. But on the lower level, it may be, just why should we do it? But if you properly follow the instructions of your guru, because this is an instruction, chant the holy name, minimum 16 rounds. So that should be done. So as long as we are doing it on the platform of because I have to do it, it may not be, we may not have the fully taste for it, but at least we have the taste for I'm doing my duty. But as soon as we accept it, that I'm doing it for to please, maybe please Guru, maybe please Vaishnavas, or ultimately understanding that by devotional service we are pleasing Krishna, then the taste comes for it. Like, why would mother do so much of austerity for her child? It's immense amount of sacrifice she does. And what does she get out of it? The child is unable to give anything. The child is just cute. Right? But the mother does it out of love. So the intense love for the child, then she's willing to give anything for the child. She's willing to give up anything just for the pleasure of the child. That's the power of the mother. And in the Shastra it is described that the loving exchange between the mother and the child is the closest to it's the highest loving exchange you can have here in the material world. So now the rasa which the jiva has with Krishna, it's on different realm. So now we have to understand that Krishna is our friend, Krishna is our well-wisher. He is the only person who actually deserves our full love. If we realize that, then anything, doing anything for him, then becomes out of because I want to please him. He loves me so much, I want to do something to please him, to show him my love for him. So if we practice that, then definitely the consciousness of each and every individual devotee will elevate to Anandamoy, to the highest platform. But then, to do that, we have to be willing to help each other. We have to be able to appreciate each other, each other's services, each other's ways, the activities. Sometimes we also have to be able to tolerate each other, because somebody performs things differently than I do. And it may not be wrong, but I don't like it, so I just go and say, well, you are nonsense. But we don't understand what we are creating by that. We are committing Vaishnava Parad. Also in the Third Devotion, Rupa Goswami explains that, actually, Srila Prabhupada comments on that, that devotee in this material world. Now, when somebody is a devotee, then it's very likely, and most likely, that he was a devotee in previous life. It is very rare that somebody who is not devotee takes up devotional service. Many times, the devotee practices devotional service for many lifetimes. And then, so being a devotee, that's a wonderful thing. But how come that the devotees then practice devotional service for so many lifetimes? And then Srila Prabhupada says, it is most probably because of an Vaishnava Parad. So then, we are practicing devotional service. And we may do wonderful things. We may please Guru, we may do so many things, but then we take so easily offending Vaishnavas. We say this, we do this. It's and especially in the Holy Dham, we don't even consider some things which we do that, okay, anyway, good for him. He deserves it. Well, we have to have the consideration that if we commit Vaishnava Parad, then we will suffer the consequences. And then also Srila Prabhupada explains that according to how much or what kind of Vaishnava Parad, the level of Vaishnava Parad, to that level, then the devotee will degrade himself. So there may be a devotee, also Srila Prabhupada explains, devotee on platform of ecstasy, commits Vaishnava Parad, then he falls down to lose that ecstatic symptoms. He will have some attraction, but if he commits great Vaishnava Parad, then even the attraction may diminish. And in that's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, then he explains actually what is the greatest apparat, the greatest offense a devotee can commit. So Vaishnava Parad, it's definitely great offense. But out of Vaishnava Parad, the offense is towards Guru, Guru Aparad, are the most severe. And out of that, then being ungrateful to one's Guru, this is the most severe offense. And then as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada said, that actually this offense can completely destroy the results of one's devotional service. We hear devotional service, whatever you perform, it's permanent. It is. But there are cases where even death can be fully destroyed. So we should very carefully consider this and not exercise not so freely, just not offending each other. When it happens that we do commit a Vaishnava Parad, we should be very afraid. And we should go and beg forgiveness from the devotee. Not thinking, anyway, well, he deserves it. That's not the mood. We should do everything for so then he becomes pacified. Otherwise, then we are putting ourselves into a very difficult situation. And the situation is that we are looking for taste in the chanting. We are looking taste in devotional service. We are looking for a taste in association with devotees. But Vaishnava Parad removes this taste for these activities. You may still go on and mechanically chant your rounds. You may still be among the devotees. But Vaishnava Parad removes the taste for doing it. So yeah, chanting will be mechanical. Then association will be just for Prajalpa. Devotional service, then just do so for some maintenance or some other things. You will not feel the taste that you are doing it because you are not doing it out of love. So therefore, Vaishnava Parad is great danger. And it may happen. But then, there is a way how to counteract it. And we have to work for it. We have to find a way how to pacify the devotee, how to beg forgiveness from the devotee, and do everything for not to commit Vaishnava Parad again. Then it is guaranteed that you can progress and you can go back to Godhead in this very lifetime. You don't have to come next lifetime as a devotee just because you didn't make it this lifetime, most probably because you committed Vaishnava Parad. So it's our own choice individually. There is no way around. And remember, before we were reading the initiation lecture by Srila Prabhupada, and where he said that one has to follow the instructions of one's guru. One has to follow the four regulative principles. Right? And then the Srila Prabhupada says, okay, if you make a farce out of devotional service, then the guru, then he declines. He cannot, Srila Prabhupada says, I cannot give you protection. Just because you are making a joke out of it, that you are not serious enough. And of course, it can happen that somebody may have some commit some mistake. That's not a problem. Even Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, if somebody falls down, right? But if he, now Krishna says, okay, somebody falls down in devotional service, but I don't consider him as a fallen devotee. Now, what does it mean? Because somebody may fall down, and he should not be considered as a fallen devotee. But somebody falls down, and then, yes, then he actually falls down, and he may not be considered as a devotee. Again, the difference is that of consciousness. If somebody falls down and understands, oh, wow, I have made a mistake. He goes, he begs for forgiveness from the Vaishnavas. He asks the Vaishnavas what he should do to atone for it. And he does everything for, so then he can come back to the platform from which he had fallen down. What's his mistake? Nothing. It's no consideration. He is a devotee. He falls from the platform of pure devotional service. He is still considered as a pure devotee. But if a devotee just falls down and then he feels embarrassed to go and beg forgiveness, so rather he just figures out, anyway, anybody can do it. Everybody's doing it. Everybody pretends. But I'm at least I'm real. No. So anyway, what's the problem? At least I'm following for three regulative principles. And everybody should do that. Okay. Who wants to follow only three? Make a philosophy out of it. So what kind of devotee is he? This is a pretender. This kind of devotee, association with those devotees is very dangerous. So he is fallen because he has fallen in his consciousness. But the other one, maybe he breaks a regulative principle. But then he goes and he begs for forgiveness and he will make sure it will not happen again. He is not fallen down at all. And in fact, Haridas Thakur, he elaborates on that. He is not fallen, but any other devotee who considers that devotee as a fallen, that devotee is fallen. Not the one who made the mistake, but the one who points the finger. That's the opinion of Krishna. That's the opinion of his pure devotees. So again, we have to be very careful. Looking for issues, finding issues in anything, pointing fingers, it's Vaishnava Parat. So we should be rather concerned about what we are doing, you know, for our own progress in devotional service. How are we pleasing Krishna? That way, then we can see the proper path, and then we can develop the proper taste for devotional service. But looking for, finding faults, just leads us down and removes the taste for doing the activities in devotional service. So we should encourage each other. We should help each other, associate together, to encourage, to see what in common we have and how we can use that in devotional service, helping each other, but not to see what the difference and then pointing it out and, no, oh, you are bad because of this. That's not going to help anyone. We need to get to the point of association, proper association, sadhu sangha, and in that association then develop cooperation. Because all of us here, we are trying to go back to Godhead. So now the mood should be actually prominent in the whole society. Anybody who comes to Mayapur, they should see, wow, this is a movement which does devotional service. This is Bhakti Yoga movement. And it should be seen everywhere. Should be seen how we live. Should be seen how we behave. How we behave towards each other. How we behave towards the guests. Towards the deities. If you go to Jaipur and go to Govindaji, for Mangalarati, and you will see the people from the street, right? They are there, and then they are dressed in pants that they are going to work. But they will all come to see Govindaji before they do anything in the morning. And the mood is so wonderful. They are not there because they have to be there. There is nobody is making attendance. Nobody is now watching who is there. The people are there because they want to be there. And the mood is so wonderful. They are devotees. So we should also see that everybody living in Mayapur, we are here because we want to practice devotional service. So everybody should be there for Mangalarati every day. That's how we show our love for Krishna. When we want to see how Krishna looks in the morning, right? If he is the person whom we love, and then we didn't see him the whole night, then naturally, then in the morning, then you get the first opportunity to see him. I mean, he should be there. So this is how we live, the instructions of one's guru, shastra, sadhu. So if somebody comes and sees that, it's very easy to preach to the person and to convince him to take up devotional service. But if somebody comes and sees that we are fighting over some land or some apartment or some other even petty things, what will they think? Same like anybody else. And they will not be very impressed. And it will be very difficult to preach that actually it's not like this. You see? No, I have to explain to you. Many things. Just the first impression, somebody comes and sees that's the explanation. The first impression is very important. So we have to endeavor to make sure that the relationships amongst each other are based on devotional service. So we are participating and we are cooperating together to make Krishna happy. Then everything just fits into its own place. Everything will be properly manifested. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the nice class. Prabhu, in one letter by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada explains a little about Vaishnava Prada, and he says, calling a thief is not really fault finding. So sometimes in the execution of our service, we're not alone, we work with other devotees as well. And they could create some problems, and that would delay our service, or that would really destroy our plans to serve in a particular way. So this seems very complicated. How do we handle a situation like that?
Means chastise somebody like that, or?
Yeah, well, if it's a temple president, you can't really chastise
See,
him.
You know, you have a, do you have a kid?
No.
Okay, do you deal with someone of like who is younger to you,
yeah.
you whom you care for?
Yeah.
Do you chastise him?
Yeah.
And does he hate you for it? When you have a child, you have to chastise him. Sometimes, right? Not all the time. Sometimes, right? And why do we do that? Not because we now hate the kid, but he does something wrong, and we have to find a way how to correct him, so then he doesn't do the thing wrong again. When you have a friend, the greatest friend, now good friend of you, will tell you they do something wrong. Not because he doesn't like you, but because he likes you, and he doesn't want you to be wrong. Person who says he's your friend, and he will say, whatever you do is good, and he will see you are doing wrong. Oh, I should not tell him because now I don't want to spoil the relationship. He is not your friend. Because he doesn't care if you do things wrong or right. So, now, what matters, again, is the approach, is the consciousness. If you care for a person, then you can correct the person with the right mood, and the person will take it proper way. If you are trying to correct somebody out of ego or just to show off, then of course it will not be taken properly. So even a temple president, when he has the authority, now he sees something is wrong. Now that person must be corrected because it affects all the other people whom he cares for. And if it's done properly, even the person being corrected understands that. Now if he doesn't want to understand, then he will go away. But he will not be allowed to be among everyone doing nonsense. So, difficult it is when we take it personally. Right? That, oh, if I do that, then he may hate me and then I will create an enemy and no. But then, if he thinks like that, then he should not be in the position of having power. Because to correct somebody, you have to do it either by power or influence. Influence is the relationship. Right? So then, you don't want somebody to do something, and then so you say, well, see, I don't like you to do that. So if you have any regard for me, please don't do it. And if he does, he will not do it. That's influence. Power is that you are stronger and he is weaker. So now you are there, and then if you do this, I'll beat you up. Okay, I will not do it. But as soon as he is stronger than you, then he was okay, let's try. No. And then, okay, then do it, no? But the president has an authority, so then he shows the power. But he has to use it properly. See, like Parikshit Maharaj. Then he goes and he chastises Kali. Right? So then he was ready to kill him. But then he surrenders. So he is not like he doesn't have some like a personal agenda. Okay, he surrenders. Now he is the king and he needs to protect. But he must see that he is not going to create havoc among all others, his citizens. So he gives him place somewhere else, but not where the pious people will be affected by. That's intelligence. And he fulfills his duty. He doesn't compromise. So temple president or anybody also must have that intelligence how to do it, not to let anybody, any bad influence into the no sphere which he operates, so then everybody just will suffer from that. That means he doesn't care for the others. And that should be done then by power and influence. It's always combination. But leader, he is known that he works for people. That means he develops the relationship. He cares about them. Manager, he knows how to work with people. He moves them here and there just to get things done. But that doesn't have to be in a relationship with. So then, now we should develop the leadership qualities. So to know how to properly lead people. By encouragement, by showing our own example, and if needed, some chastisement. But even the chastisement is made out of affection, is done out of affection. So then, if that's done properly, that's not Vaishnava Parat. But if it's done out of ego trip, it is Vaishnava Parat. Yeah?
Thank you, Prabhupada.
Krishna. I'm asking that how to act in pure consciousness. Sometimes it's not clear that what consciousness is beneficial and what is like a what consciousness is actually is making not good at all.
Sorry?
Sometimes some consciousness, you know, you are not sure that this consciousness is not good for me. But what is the way to attain pure consciousness?
What's the way to achieve the pure consciousness?
Yes.
See?
How to know that this consciousness is actually not good?
The consciousness is affected by many, many things. Your activities, your desires, your association. So whatever you are doing, it will affect your consciousness. And ultimately, it is affected by your free will. If you want to develop the high level of consciousness, then you will associate with those people who are on that level. You will do the activities of those who are doing it, those who are on the higher level. And your desire will be to elevate to the higher level. Then you can go. But if you desire to enjoy things yourself, but you like to just pretend that the activities will be like, you show that you are like high class devotee, but actually, you do, when you are alone, you do things differently. Nobody sees, so nobody knows. Then it's not that high class. So everything has to match. And if it does, then your consciousness will be elevated. And ultimately, we have to work to be able to perform devotional service all the time. So when we perform devotional service and always think of Krishna 24 hours a day, then it's pure devotional service. And that means that consciousness of that particular devotee is on the Ananamoy platform. Because he's not thinking about anything else. He's not thinking about sense gratification. He's not thinking about enjoying with others. He's not thinking about dharma, artha, kama, or even moksha. He's above all this. You understand? So what you can start with your desire. what is it actually you want? Do you want to be a pure devotee, or do you want to be called a pure devotee, but you want to do things your own way? Start with that. Now, if your activities, your association and your desire match together, then your consciousness will be elevated. But if your activities are different and inside you think differently, then it's not going to help you. So the desire of a devotee to perform devotional service must be genuine. When he is in the association of devotees, then he should take advantage of associating with the devotees. Inquire. Pranipata, pariprasna, sevaya. Then your consciousness will be elevated. Yeah? Hare Krishna. Okay.
Thank you for the class. So I was just wondering, if you are walking along and you happen to fall into a pit of scorpions, and the scorpions start to bite you, and you say to the scorpions, "Oh, you bad scorpions, you're biting me and you're hurting me so much. I don't like you to hurt me like this." Then does this mean you are creating apparat against those scorpions?
Not necessarily. No. You see, there are also in the Shastra it is said that when a snake or a scorpion is being killed, and the sadhus are not unhappy. But you see, like say Rasikananda, once he was going for a kirtan and he was bitten by a snake on the way, cobra into his thigh, or calf actually, into his calf, and then he didn't notice, but the snake was like so envious, he didn't let go. So he came to that, among the devotees, and he was dancing, but someone noticed there was like a long snake, man, just now moving with him, and what is this? Hey, there is a snake. He didn't even notice it. So he wasn't affected by it. But it's because the consciousness was, fully absorbed on the Lord. Now we may notice it, and then if you are attacked by a snake or a scorpion, if you kill it, it's not a Vaishnava aparat. It's not wrong. But if there is a snake living somewhere and just seeing it and then you go and kill it, that's not right. If the snake is not doing anything to you, then you should leave it alone. No. If you can, then you can remove it. Snakes are danger, so then if you find it in your house and then kids are not around there, then you have to do something about it. But again, like in Jaiva Dharma, and there was Vaishnav Das. He was living in a cottage and he was talking outside with Lahiri Maharshai. And then he noticed, "Oh look, there is a snake went into your cottage, we should find him and kill it." And he said, "No, just don't worry, it's all right." No. His consciousness was, "Well, if I'm supposed to be bitten by a snake, I will be." But he was a pure Vaishnava, so for him, it was genuine. It's not that he was just I'm so elevated, but then he would go and kill the snake when he's alone. No, he wouldn't do that. So he was being honest. But then if somebody is responsible, say like, "Okay, Grihastha has children and see that the snake is coming there," he has to do something. He has to kill the snake if needed to. Because then he has to fulfill the duty to protect. You understand? But if it's other animals, say like rats, right? You may have rats. So you don't have to kill them. There are some other ways how to not catch them. But then you have to take them very far away, because they will always find the way back. The best is like behind river. There are ways how to take care, of things. Or like, Srila Prabhupada's father, then he would say, having cloth shop, so rats would be very dangerous. So then what he did, he would keep always some prasad for the rats, so then they would come anyway. They would come eat the prasad and wouldn't go for the clothes. So like that, if we want to find a way how to deal with things properly, we will find. Like when Arjuna was in dilemma, right? He caught Ashwatthama, and then Bhima said, kill him. And Draupadi said, don't kill him. And he has to satisfy both. So he cannot kill him, but he must kill him. And what he is going to do? No, so then he cut off his hair and then cut off his jewel. It was like killing him, but actually leaving him alive. So we have to also use this way of intelligence, then how to make it so then we don't offend anyone, but still we protect or we do what we must do. Yeah? Madhuri? You had something?
Hare Krishna, thank you for a nice lecture. You were talking about the one who is pointing the finger. He is saying that someone is fallen, that person is actually fallen. So why is it so?
Well, like somebody may just criticize a devotee. Right? Oh, I know him. Now he is pretending to be a devotee, but before he was such a debauchee, right? So I know him like that, therefore he is a nonsense, he's a pretender. He is always like this. That's criticizing. That's an offense. This is a Vaishnava parat. Angulimala. He was a student in Gurukul. And then he was brilliant student, but he would have wonderful relationship with his guru, and the guru was living also with his wife, so they would have house and they would have few students living there in the ashram. Now he would have wonderful relationship with the guru and also with the wife, so many times they would be discussing things not together, and the other students got very jealous. So then, they were thinking how to, break that. So they, poisoned the mind of the guru. They said, "Well, now you think that he is such a nice boy, but actually, when you are not here, he talks with your wife, and then and you don't know, So then the teacher then." Okay, I'm going. He was going out. And before, it happened that they were just not discussing. But then the teacher comes and he sees, and then the wife is talking there with the student. And, okay, yeah, they are right. Okay, so he chases out. But he didn't do anything wrong. But anyway, he is out. Now, at that time, when the teacher would chase a student out, he is banned from the society. Even home he could not do. The parents would reject him. So then he was doing nothing wrong and the society rejected him. So that's injustice, but now what could he do? Anyway, so he started to become a dacoit. Dacoit means like robber. He would live in the hills and anybody passing by would kill. and rob. And for each one, then he would cut small finger and put it on his mala. It's by Angulimala. And he had many of them. So and then, the king always wanted to get him. But he was always smarter. And he would kill the soldiers and always escape. Very smart person. So then the king was very, very eager, and but could not get him. And once there was Buddha going by. And then he would go and not try to kill him. But then he figured out, I mean, he was running after him, but the distance was always the same. What is this? No. And then he figured out, that's not the ordinary person. And he surrendered. So then Buddha, being very merciful, he took him to his ashram. And then he became devoted. So he was fully engaged in the ashram. The king heard about it. And then, so what is this? Okay, he sent some soldiers into the ashram. Now he sees, you know, the soldiers go there and you know, they see, okay, now he's fully engaged in the service of Buddha. He's now fully absorbed in. They were satisfied, they left. No revenge, no bad feelings, nothing. Okay, now he's fully engaged as he's supposed to be. They turned around, went back, told the king, and then matter was finished. So there was no envy. There was no jealousy. There was no pointing. But before he did so many things. No, what matters is now. So now pointing somebody's mistakes from the past, and it can be even recent past. Somebody who, okay, made a mistake, but he apologize and he wants to come back to the platform, pointing that mistake, it's a criticism. And what happens to one who criticizes the devotees? Right? So that's why it's so dangerous. That's why Haridas Thakur points it out.
So what if we point fingers afraid of that this person will destroy our society in the future? And that's why we find a justification so that we can point fingers. Is that also Vaishnava aparad? Or is that out of a genuine concern?
Yeah, we should be very, it should be left to the leaders of the society. Right. I mean, what can you do anyway, other than just talk? If you have power and influence and you can do actually about the person, then you are supposed to do something. But if you have no power and you can just talk and that's all you can do, then don't do anything. But the leaders, they see, well, there is something, no, something happened, we have to do something about it. Because we have the power, we were given the power to do things. So they must do something. If they don't do, then it's that's bad. But no, we have to see, and then if we are concerned about it, somebody is doing things which affect the consciousness of the society, then the leaders must know about it. So if you are concerned about someone and then you cannot do anything about it, then you should tell your authority about what's happening and let the authority do something about it. But what's the point of trying, creating a gossip that, oh yeah, I know, no, he does this, he does that, and that doesn't help anyone. Doesn't help the person, doesn't help you, doesn't help anybody else. So that's why it's just plain criticizing. But if there is a concern, then it has to be taken up and it has to be resolved. But that will happen only by power or influence. So if you have some relationship with the person, then you should come to him. I see you are doing things like this, but this is not right. You should be the first person to be told. That's not criticizing. It's actually just not taking the matters properly in your hands and then just pointing it out. You are trying to solve the problem. Like, look, I'm noticing that you are doing things wrong. And I am very concerned about yourself. So please don't stop this behavior. No, if you don't stop, I will have to go to my authority and not to not tell them what you are doing, because it's bad for you, it's bad for anybody else. That's not criticism. And if you have the power, then you have to do it by force. No, if you don't stop, I'll throw you out of here. No, that's to be done. Yeah? Okay. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande.